The Bible tells us this wonderful story about this mother that we're going to read, this first-time mother, and we're going to read about her life a little bit. But as I was thinking this morning about Mother's Day, I thought about Paul's words to Timothy, and he says, I'm reminded of the genuine faith that was in your grandmother and that was in your mother, and he says, now I'm sure that is in you. And it really made me think about the impact of a mother, grandmother, a spiritual mother, whoever they may be. Some may be with us, some may not, no longer be with us. And as I thought about Paul's words to Timothy, I was reminded of my grandmothers. About 2 years ago, both of them passed away within about 2 months of each other. And incredible impact they left on my life, along with my mother's own sacrifice for us as growing up. But I thought about my grandmothers and the impact of imparting faith, the impact of praying, the impact of never holding a pulpit, never holding really a role in ministry, but their impact is probably the most significant in my life. And I thought, you know, oftentimes these are the hidden figures of Christianity that you never really see their impact. It's usually felt. And it's felt by those who are on the receiving end of it, their children, their grandchildren. And you can never really measure their impact until, like me, oftentimes when they're gone and I realize, wow, they were doing more for me here than I ever realized. They were inspiring faith and purpose in me. And so we just honor the legacy of mothers and grandmothers, those departed, those that we will one day meet again at the gate of heaven. The Bible tells us here in 1 Samuel 21, this change of events here that is happening. And we hear the story of Hannah. And I'd like to think about it this way, that the beginnings of what would happen in this portion of Old Testament history came out of a prayer of a barren mother. Have you thought about that? That what's about to happen and what God is about to do came because of a prayer that God put in a heart of a woman who desired a child, who wanted a child, who that was God's gifting to her, but she wasn't able to, but she prayed. And she called on the Lord. And the Lord heard her cry. And the Lord answered her plea and gave her a child. And so now we read this story that we're going to pick up here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 20 that in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she named him Samuel, for she said, I have asked him of the Lord. It's important to recognize that Hannah named him Samuel, saying, I have asked him of the Lord. And we often read this chapter and the next during child dedications, and it sounds wonderful at child dedications, but it's one of those things that when the rubber hits the road, it's a little harder to live out what Hannah is about to do. The Bible says that the man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. As a parent, I have just read that verse and reread that verse and read it over again, and we're going to talk about it a little bit, but man, that just strikes me, because what could you want more, what could you want better for your children than to be in the presence of the Lord forever, all the days of their lives? There is nothing better for our children, right, than to be in the presence of the Lord, for there is fullness of joy there. She says, I will offer him as a Nazirite for all time, and her husband Elkanah said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish your word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And can we just say here, mothers are incredible, right? Here she is, she's got a child, a bull, and all the other belongings that she needed. And that's just the picture of mothers. I remember living in Paraguay, you'd see these mothers. There's a child here, a child here, and no joke, there was a basket sitting on their head full of stuff, walking down the road without ever touching it with their hands. And I thought, man, motherhood is just incredible. And then they slaughtered she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. And then they slaughtered the bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. Isn't this something? That she could come back to Eli and say, I was here, remember me? I was praying. Guess what? God heard my prayer, she's about to say. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. And therefore I have lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is given to the Lord, and they worship the Lord there. This morning I want to talk to you about the power of the precious, the power of the precious. And I know that may sound uncertain at the moment, but it'll make sense in a moment. You would think for Hannah, here she was barren and she didn't have a child. And she prayed. God heard her prayer and she was given a child. And Hannah is not the first. This is actually, if you go back and you read the Old Testament, this is a theme of the Old Testament. Mothers who were barren but had enough faith to pray and call upon the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry. And because of those women standing in a place of faith, you have these incredible figures throughout the Old Testament history, the fathers of faith inspiring, imparting faith to generation after generation. And it started with these barren women who called upon the Lord in prayer. Boy, that tells us something. Never underestimate what someone can pray. God, what the wonders God is doing when people pray. And so here is Hannah standing before her husband. And the child is not even grown up. The child is not even weaned yet. And she says, I'm going to give him to the Lord. And I think about Elkanah here. And I think about my wife and our daughter. And I think, what an incredible sacrifice. The fact that they had made up this child that she had longed for, and you see her in the tabernacle there, just yearning to the Lord, pleading to the Lord, is to the point where Eli thought she was drunk because of how she was just clamoring to the Lord. But then here is the moment where she's made it up in her mind. No, this child, he belongs to the Lord. He belongs to the Lord. The Bible tells the stories of mothers who had a common narrative. And they all did something, as I just began to survey their history of these women throughout the Old Testament and New, that they were entrusted with children. You think about Moses' mother and Hannah here. You think about Mary and the mother of Jesus and all the other mothers that are entrusted throughout Scripture, Sarah. They were entrusted with children, precious to all of them, most of them barren, but yet they had this thing in common with their children, and it was called surrender. Where they no longer worried about the future of their children, where they didn't say, but this is my child and I'm gonna direct their steps for their lives, they had a mutual decisions. They not even knowing each other, this child belongs to the Lord. Whether it was Hannah coming to the tabernacle and handing their child over to the Lord, or whether it was Moses' mother putting her child, who she knew his life was about to be in danger, any moment he could be killed, but she thought, the best I know to do is put him in a basket and send him down the river and pray, give him to the Lord. God's gonna do something with his future. It's this letting go of what is precious. And the thing that is remarkable is that we see throughout their history is that these women modeled well what it means to let go of what is precious to us, to surrender it to the Lord, the thing that is most cherished to us. It's that moment of Abraham going up to the mountain in Genesis 22 and saying, the Lord saying, you're going to offer up your son as a sacrifice. And Abraham doesn't stutter. He goes right up to the mountain, puts his son on the altar and about to sacrifice him. And the angel of the Lord says, wait, stop. It's that moment of being able to let go of the thing that is most precious to us. And for these mothers, of course, the thing that was most precious to them was their children and trusting them to the Lord. And for others, it might be some family member who is away from the Lord. It's precious to us. It's become a thing that we've worried about and we're holding on to and we're clinging to. Or maybe for others, it's some other thing in our life that has become so precious to us. It's so valuable to us. It's invaluable. And it's hard to let it go. It's hard to give it over to the Lord. How many of you know it's hard to hand something over to the Lord sometimes? Let's be real, right? It's hard to hand things over to the Lord. It's hard to say to the Lord, whom we cannot see with our eyes standing before us, Lord, I'm just going to trust to you. Hannah, she faced a lot of things coming up in her life here that she was about to face here with Eli. And I think if Hannah even knew the things that were about to happen, I don't think she would have questioned, even though they were very bad things that would happen in the life of the templehood, of the priesthood. But here she goes anyways. And so a few things we can learn about letting go, the power of the precious. The first thing we see here is that Hannah brings her child, Samuel, to Eli, to a person whom she doesn't know, and to a tabernacle that she doesn't know the future of. And Hannah faces one of the most troubling things oftentimes for any believer, and she faced the problem of uncertainty. The uncertainty. Especially with children, it's hard for us to face the uncertain. To face the unknown, to face that what is up ahead, that we don't know what is clearly going to come. It's that moment of Moses' mother saying, all I know to do, I'm at the last thing I can do. I don't know what's up the Nile River, but I'm going to put my child anywhere. It's uncertain, but I'm going to trust him to the Lord. It's better that I trust him to the Lord than his life be killed out from under my hands, that came in her mind. It's the power of the precious. It's learning this principle that Hannah understood, is that surrender acknowledges uncertainty and acknowledges that I am not always certain, but God is always certain. God is always in control. The power of the precious is realizing the thing that is so precious to you that you've been holding on to, and maybe it is your child, their future, they're wayward from the Lord, or maybe it's some other job situation or financial thing. It's precious to you. It's hard to let go of it because of the uncertainty. But you'll notice that when you read the stories of faith in the Bible, there was never an acknowledgement of certainty. It was always an acknowledgement of the certainty of God. And that's the act of faith and walking with the Lord and the power of the precious, is that you don't always know the certainty of the circumstances, but you do know, based upon the word of the Lord, the certainty of who God is and the certainty of his faithfulness and the certainty that he will always do as he said he will do, that he will always answer prayer when you call upon him. And here is a prayer that Hannah would pray. I'm going to give my child to the Lord. I've lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is given to the Lord. I don't know what his future is like. I don't know the certainty up ahead, but I'm going to trust him to the Lord. This is hard. I remember some years ago, I was wrestling one day in prayer. And I was wrestling, the Lord was dealing with me inside, because I was wrestling with some people that I had been praying for that were away from the Lord. And it just devastated me, devastated. I was so just overly concerned for their lives, for their futures, and what was going to happen to them. And it just weighed on me. And I just remember one day as I was there praying, sitting in that chair at my desk, and I just remember the Lord dealing with me, speaking to me. And it was the moment of me having to take what was precious to me and not being able to control. You know that, right? You're so concerned about somebody. Say, why won't you please accept Jesus? Please, it would just give me a lot more comfort knowing your future, everything that's up ahead. It's that you want it, but you can't do that to anybody. You can't force that, right? Salvation is not forced. It's by the Lord. And oh, I was dealing with that and wrestling with that. And it was like the Lord just came and said to me, when are you going to give them to me? You keep trying to do it, but when are you going to hand them over to me? You can't save them. You can't rescue them, Charlie. But when will you trust me to do it? And you know, I needed the Lord in that moment, because that was a moment that I took what was a source of worry and grief for me, and it's not a source of worry and grief for me. It was taking what was precious to me and handing it over to Jesus. And it was a moment of knowing, oh, God did. And you know what? And since I've done that, probably half of those people, it was a handful, a half of those people have come to know the Lord. And it wasn't because of anything I did. It was certainly not because of that. It was because of who the Lord was. And God just trying to get me to the place, will you take what is precious and hand it over to me? You know why God asked for what is precious? Because there's a fine line between what is precious and what is an idol. And that is what Hannah had to wrestle with, is this child was given to me by the Lord. He is precious to me, but he's not my idol. He's not the God I'm going to live for. You are the Lord I'm going to live for, so I hand him over to you. It acknowledges uncertainty. Next thing you see here in Hannah's life, here she is with this child, and she says this prayer that is a wonderful prayer that, oh, I would just encourage every parent to pray today. She says, as she's getting ready to go to the tabernacle in verse 22, she says, I will bring him that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. I will appear there and that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. And if you know the story of this, what happens here, can you imagine the moment where Samuel is in the temple or tabernacle, and the moment when he begins to hear the Lord speaking to him? And he goes to Eli and he says, are you calling me? No, I didn't call you. And Eli tells him, go back. The Lord's trying to speak to you. Can you imagine for a moment that here is her heart, that he would be in the presence of the Lord forever? And then some chapters later, some, of course, many years in his life later, there is this moment where then Samuel is doing just that. In the presence of the Lord, hearing God's call upon his life. And I just wonder, this is one of those moments that's not talked about in the Bible, but it's one of those behind the scenes moments. I would have loved to seen what Hannah did. Oh, I'm sure her heart leaped inside of her, because her desire was, let him be in the presence of the Lord. And there she was, there Samuel was, hearing the voice of the Lord, being called by the Lord, being one who would not only be in the presence of the Lord, but would lead others into the presence of the Lord. And what a testimony of a mother's heart, that here was her desire, that God says in Psalms 37, that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And here is Hannah doing exactly that. Her delight is the Lord, and her desire is for him to be in the presence of the Lord. And guess what? God gave her the desires of her heart. Surrender acknowledges, when we're letting go of the precious, surrender acknowledges that God's plans are greater than our plans. God's plans are greater than our plans. And I know that may sound so basic, but it's a truth that we often forget when we're going through life and we're holding on to what's precious. Because we carry that thing that is so precious to us, and it's hard for us to let it go because we forget the realization that God's plan is better than my plan. What is precious to me and what I'm trying to hold on to, I'm trying to keep it for what is in my plans. But if it's going to be given to the Lord and surrendered over to the Lord, it has to come back to the realization, no, I know God's plans are greater than what I could ever do. My children, I don't know their future. I don't know what's ahead, but I know God's plans are greater. I can't map their days before them. All I can do is like the Eunice and Lois did for Timothy, is model genuine faith and pray for them and lift them up to the Lord and pray that that gets inside of them. And we trust that God's plans are greater. This is a wonderful realization when you're carrying around something that is precious, is that what has become a source of worry and sleeplessness for you, the thing that is precious, if I had the Hope Diamond, it would just be a wonderful illustration for you, right? But they wouldn't let me borrow it for today. But if you just see that thing that was so invaluable, holding onto and guarding, but just handing it over to the Lord, and it thinks in our mind, our plans for the what is precious, all the things that we would want to do with it, but just imagine for the moment that sleeplessness and that worry you have about it. The Bible reminds us that there is a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, and neither for the future of your children or the future of what is precious to you, but instead just hand it over to the Lord. Hand it over to Jesus. Trust him with it. Trust that he's going to work it out in his times, that he might remain there forever. The second thing we see here, or the third thing we see here in Hannah's prayer, is she says this: "Oh my Lord, as you live, I'm the woman who is standing here in your presence. I was praying to the Lord, and for this child I prayed," she said. Oh, I love that. I love Hannah's affirmation that God, this is not because of me. This is because this child I prayed, and because God answered the prayer. The Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. And this is the wonderful realization about letting go of what is precious, is that surrender accepts God's will. It accepts God's will. We acknowledge uncertainty. We acknowledge God's plans are greater, but it accepts what God's will is. A lot of times the believers in their lives, and mine included, often have this struggle with what God's will is. Lord, are you sure you want me to do that? Are you sure that's the plan you have for me? Are you really sure? It's this constant wrestling. Instead of just saying, yes, Lord, well, Lord, I don't know. Let me try to convince you otherwise. This is what your plan should be. But surrender and letting go of what is precious accepts God's will, because it's God's will. If God wills it, then let him do it. If God desires it, then let him have his way. Not one person has ever said, I chose God's will and I regret it. I can't find anybody who said that. No, God's will is always best. God always knows what is best. And this is what Hannah said here: "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition." God's will was that Hannah would have this child, right? Absolutely. That was the Lord's will. The Lord gave Hannah this child, but it was also God's will that he would be handed over to the Lord once again in the tabernacle, serving, leading people, prophet, priest, guiding the people, trying to get their hearts back to the Lord. And God knew this was what's perfect. And Hannah, you know what? I believe she was okay with that. I believe she could have peace at the end of the day with, although this is very hard to let go of the precious, it is important because this is God's will. You know, we talk about letting go of the precious, the thing that is most just valuable, invaluable to us, that we're having a hard time of just laying over to the Lord. But you know, the Lord knows this very well. He knows this action very well. If you remember, there's a verse, I think it's in John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." The Lord had to hand over what was most precious to him. The Lord had to go through this as well. The Lord had to go through the action of saying, I'm going to let go of my son. And why? So that you could experience the life that he has for you. It was God's will that Jesus would come. And God's will is always best. Always best. I don't care what anyone says. God's will is always best. There is nothing like God's will. Recently, I was reminded of a story. I was reading this story about a man who was in a terrible accident, and just a terrible car accident, into a place where he couldn't do anything for himself. He was immobile and couldn't help himself. But he talks about his mother. His wife was out of town for a weekend, and so he had to have somebody come and help him. And he talked about his mother coming in and agreeing to help him and take care of him. And while he was embarrassed, right, to have, here's he is a grown adult, to have his mother come and take care of him, he wrestled with this thought of having her be there to take care of him. And he talks about in his story, he says that every day his mother, she prepared meals for him. She loved him. But he talked about the one daily occurrence that he dreaded. And that was because he was immobile because of his accident. His mother had to come in and change his bedpans every day. And he talks about, I know she diapered me when I was a baby, but I wasn't prepared between the moments of time passing now to adulthood. And he talks about that he remembered the first time that she came and cared for him. And she asked for the bedpan. And he says that she acted as if it was the most natural thing ever. And he talks later on in the story, he says that I agonized over having to tell her about having the bedpan, but she asked me before I could tell her. And she asked me first, and I nodded. And she took the bedpan into the bathroom, and then I heard one of the most remarkable sounds I ever heard in my life. As she entered the bathroom and flushed the commode, I could hear my mother singing. And in spite of one of the most lowly of tasks one human could perform for another, she sang as she washed out the bedpan. It was as if her whole motherhood was wrapped up in that moment. She was again doing something for her son that he could not do for himself, and she was happy and fulfilled. And he talks about, I'll cherish that memory, for it defines the devotion that only a mother could have. You talk about a mother that had to learn to accept God's will. That mother had to learn to accept God's will. A believer, rather, that had to accept God's will. That here was her son, grown and not able to take care of himself, but yet she loved him just as if he was a newborn baby. I thought about this and I thought, you know, the propensity for one human being to care for another for years, not just until they're 18, but beyond that, and through all different types of circumstances, through rebellions, through loving through kindness days, through hard-headed days, through all of that, is confident evidence that we have been created by a creator whose very nature, and not only nature, but very being is love. And the imprint of his work in us is in the nature of love to take care of others. This is why mothers are so important, because they are the evidence that God loves us. That if a mother could love their child like that all those years, surely it's evidence that we were made by a creator. That we were made significantly, not just by a creator, but by a creator who is love. You can't find that type of love in anything you see on TV. You can't find that love from the store. It's a love that comes from, the Bible tells us, God. And it is remarkable and wonderful. And so this teaches us even more so why it is difficult as the musicians come. That when we have things that are precious to us and we hand it over to the Lord, it comes from a place of not neglecting our children, not saying this thing, I'm neglecting it, or this job situation or this job. No, that's not it. It comes from a place of love. Because I love the Lord, because I love Jesus, because I love him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I can give it to the Lord. I can hand it over to him. I can surrender it at his feet and know I don't have to worry a day in my life. And this morning, I just want to encourage you here today. You're here this morning and you're wrestling with something that is just very precious to you. Maybe it is a child that is away for the Lord, or a spouse, or a family member, or somebody else, or a job situation, and it's just very precious to you. Only God knows the preciousness of that to you. I just want to encourage you this morning, all of us today, every eye closed, we would just surrender it to Jesus. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And that moment of being able to do it means, Lord, you did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. You created me to live by faith. And so I'm going to give it to you. This morning you have a child that's away from the Lord. Can I just encourage you today? I know you love them. Jesus knows how much you love them. And he loves them so much too. And he knows exactly where they're at right now. He has never lost sight of them, just as he's never lost sight of you. Can I just encourage you today? Can you trust your child to the Lord? Just say, Lord, it's not in my power. It's in yours. All I can do is love. All I can do is love how you created me. whatever is precious to you today and you're guarding it with your life, can I just encourage you today, surrender it to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and your own life is precious to you. You want to control the circumstances of your life. You want to map out the plot of your life. But Jesus is just asking you to surrender your own life to him, to hand it over to him and trust him. Would you do that today? You're not doing it just because. You're doing it because God loves you. And because God loves you, he cares for you. And he wants to take what is precious to you and he wants to work it out for you. He wants to carry it for you. He doesn't want you to be weighed under that worry and that burden, but just trust it to the Lord. If you're able, would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask some of our folks from our prayer team, if you're available, to just come and stand up here this morning. Every believer here this morning, we're gonna just give it to Jesus today. You're worrying about a situation that's overwhelming you. You're worrying about a future of a child. You're worrying about whatever it might be. Well, can you just hand it to Jesus today? Just hand it to Jesus. As our prayer team comes and just stands here at the front, if you need prayer this morning, you're wrestling with something, would you just come and find one of these folks and just ask them, would you pray for me that I could just surrender it to the Lord? I've been carrying it too long. It's precious to me, but I know it's even more precious to Jesus. If that's you, would you just come this morning? We want to pray for you today. Come this morning. You need to give your life to the Lord. Oh, it's precious to you, I know, but it's even more precious to Jesus. He gave his life for you. Come this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today, Father. And Lord, we know there are so many things that are precious to us, Lord. Oh, Lord, our children, these situations that are before us, our own life. And Lord, this morning, we want to give it to you, Lord. We don't want to hold on to it with worry and fear anymore, Lord. We want to give it to you, Jesus. Lord, that same faith that Hannah had to entrust her child to you, Lord, would you inspire it in us, Lord, with our situation and whatever we're dealing with today, Lord? We want to hand it over to you today, Jesus. Oh, Father, we give it to you this morning, Lord. Father, we thank you today that our very own lives are precious to you, Lord. So, Lord, this morning, help us to give our lives to you, Jesus, to give ourselves to you, Lord. We give ourselves to you this morning. We give our situations to you today, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Jeff's gonna come, we're gonna sing this song. As we're singing, can we just give ourselves to Jesus afresh today?